Hello all, and welcome to episode 37 of The Lair of Lore. I'm Cap, and apparently I belong in the Cult of Rakdos.
And I'm Miriam, and this is a surprise to everybody. The House of Demir is my guild.
We did the guild surveys in the Extra Bits, or the Engine Room. Sorry, I keep forgetting that we changed that name. which is our pre- and post-show stuff that you can get access to on Patreon. After talking about it for probably way longer than we meant to, we've decided that those actually are very fitting.
You wouldn't expect it?
No, but it makes sense. Also, red-black is kind of my favorite color combination, though generally I prefer to throw white in as well, because Mardu is the best.
And I'm extremely nosy. Like, yes. If you haven't met me before, I wouldn't say that I gossip, I just like knowing things.
I know that we mentioned this in the engine room, and I was like, eh, we probably won't bring it up on the show. I legitimately do want that stupid shirt now. Because if you haven't heard, MTG Pro Shop is doing shirts for the new Ravnica set, and all of them are like just a word that contains an O, and then one of the O's is the guild symbol, mm-hmm. and the Rakdos one is safe word, and I'm just like, I would get so many weird looks, but I basically never leave the house except...
I think like, it's funny.
Yeah, I'm just like, I kind of feel like maybe I should get it now, because it's only like 20 bucks in my size. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we are here to cover the mechanics and the cards for Ravnica, or for Guilds of Ravnica. I am never going to remember what the hell the name of this set is, because there have been three goddamn Ravnica sets, and I don't remember any of their names anymore. Blocks. This one isn't a block, which makes it even weirder.
That's all right, but we're here to talk about Ravnica.
Yeah,
the newest, also... If it just comes to it, the newest iteration of Ravnica.
Yes. Sorry, it's going to extra confuse me because the original Ravnica set was Ravnica City of Guilds. And for some reason, they decided to reflect back on that by calling this one just Guilds of Ravnica. So I'm going, no, why? That's so confusing.
Oh my goodness.
So also, just a warning for anyone who, for some ungodly reason, relies on us for spoilers. Please don't rely on us for spoilers. You know that we're not going to know what's good cards. We're going to be talking about stupid art things.
Art and story.
Yeah.
Or art and,
art and world
not even
building.
Story. Yeah.
Yeah.
As we've decided, the story is butts.
A little bit, yeah. Remember that for some reason, there's two card image galleries! I don't know why! And we can't figure out where the correct card image gallery is linked from. The one that's linked to on the product page has, like, 10 cards.
And that's the thing that confused the living crap out of me. Because I sent Steven the link this morning, and I'm like... card image gallery? Because it didn't look like there was enough in there.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it like...
all of 10 cards. Or what?
Yeah.
5 cards per section.
I think it was like that, but even then, one section only had like 2. And I was looking at this going, I know that there's more cards than this released, among other things, because there's no Niv-Mizzet here. And he was one of the first things spoiled.
It made no sense. And then Steven found the rest of it. So we're good.
I still have no idea where the heck it was. I just found it by Google searching, and the correct card image gallery is the second option. Why is it the second? Oh, goodness. So.
Oh, my goodness. You dredged it out of the harbor. Let's put it that way.
So, we're going to do a quick rundown of the mechanics. We're both sort of...
Eh?
Underwhelmed by the mechanics, but that's more of on, like, a... I guess, like, a flavor perspective. Like, all of them are fine mechanics. In fact, they actually seem really solid. They just seem sort of...
lackluster?
Yeah, let's go with that. And I think it's partially because of the same thing I was worried about, which is that we have 5 guilds, and the way that WotC has done these in the past means that every guild gets a mechanic. So they've had to design, especially if the... third set is not going to be, like, tied with the other two sets. They've had to design at least 10 mechanics, and then maybe more for the final set. I mean, they only brought back one old mechanic, and I'm still befuddled by that.
It'll, you know, it... they are what they are.
Yeah.
They are going to be playable, and we'll have fun with them.
Yeah, they're all fine. They're just maybe not the most flavorful, I guess.
No, and let's be honest, we live for flavor.
Yeah. Like, I mean, a lot of these abilities seem really competitive and good. Just, they don't grab us, I guess.
Yes.
Do you want to take Surveil then, Miss Demir?
Yes. Sure. Okay, so the first mechanic is Surveil, and it's really easy. It's like an up. It's like a Scry plus. So to Surveil one, look at the top card. For the card I'm looking at is Unexplained Disappearance. That's one of the example cards that they have it. So it is an instant for a generic and a blue. Return target creature to its owner's hand. Surveil one. Look at the top card of your library. You may put that card into your graveyard. The first thing in the mist chills is the mind. Victims never cry out or even murmur in surprise. So it's literally just, it's Scry, but put it in your graveyard for later.
Yeah. You can either like leave it on top or you can put it in the graveyard, no bottom.
Mm-hmm. So. And then the other example card they have is Deadly Visit, which is 3 generic and 2 black. It's a sorcery.
Ooh.
Destroy target creature. Surveil 2. Look at the top 2 cards of your library, then put any number of them into your graveyard, and the rest on the top of your library in any order.
I don't think we'll need to read the reminder text on those, because they're all the same. Just change the number. That's really expensive for a targeted creature destruction, but I guess we'll see. Maybe there's not great spot removal in this set?
I just want to say the guy in the front who's just having a nice little cup of coffee doesn't know what's coming to him.
No, he does not. The one thing
Unexplained Disappearance is by Izzy.
Hard art. That's impressive. I can't wait for this to come. I'm hoping this releases at the normal time on Arena so that I can actually play it. Because while Arena desperately tries to annoy the ever-loving hell out of me, I still love playing Magic, so I'm probably going to try and draft this as much as possible once it's available.
Nice. We both were talking about it, and we think this is going to be a nice set to go to a pre-release.
Yeah, we don't go to pre-releases often, but Ravnica has a special place in everyone's heart.
It does. It does. So
up next, the Is It League has Jumpstart. I feel like the name for this is a little bit odd, because I feel like Jumpstart... I guess like jumpstarting a car you do when it's dead, but it feels more like it's a name for a mechanic that's like, get up and get going, but functionally, it's retrace. Jumpstart, you may cast this card from your graveyard by discarding a card in addition to paying the other costs, then exile this card. I believe retrace didn't exile, but it also required that you discard a land, so it's a little bit more niche. Like, you can't jumpstart multiple times, but you can also discard any card. So,
I still don't understand how they got the name Jumpstart for this. Like,
probably because
in the article.
Go ahead. I think a lot of it is just because the Is It have electricity sort of worked in a lot. And it's just sort of because you would jumpstart a dead car.
Well, the thing is, even in their most recent innovation, the new ability Jumpstart is based on a simple principle. If an experiment succeeds, do it again. Like, I don't get how they got Jumpstart from that.
I feel like that is a weird...
They're reaching.
I think that's a weird reaching thing and just trying to make it...
Snappy? Like a snappy...
I think this is just a weird description that they came up with for it that doesn't actually relate to the mechanic all that well.
I mean, let's be honest, it's probably difficult to come up with names for a lot of the mechanics.
Oh, no. I think the name is fine. I think that this, like, that tagline is stupid.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't actually have anything to do with, like, Jumpstart doesn't have anything to do with doing a thing twice. That just sounds stupid. I think that was just someone who was told, write a snappy thing about Jumpstart. It's like, I got nothing.
Yeah, it's like when we were trying to think of how hard it was to come up with titles for all of our segments. Yeah. Okay, so the next one is Undergrowth.
Yeah, I believe this is the ability... Okay, someone's going to correct me on this if I'm very wrong, but I believe this is the ability word, so it's like a mechanic where similar, like morbid was an ability word that was like the ability triggers when a certain thing happens, but what happens after it triggers is different.
So let's see. Target gains menace. Oh, so they're all different abilities.
Yeah, so I mean, so I can run through this one pretty quick then.
Yeah. Okay.
So the way that Undergrowth works is that every card with Undergrowth will do something, and it will be a scaling effect based on how many creature cards are in your graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the Golgari mechanic, and I mean, their entire thing is just that, yeah, we get the corpses, the Orzhov get the spirits.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple. I kind of like it, though. It seems... This one, I think, is one of the more flavorful ones.
Yes.
But I think part of that is just because it's so...
Niche?
Not even niche. It's so variable, because all it is, yeah, we care about creatures in the graveyard, and then it does something.
That so has it means to deal that you with can... the amount of creatures in your graveyard.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to deal with the amount of creatures in your graveyard. It's just that is what you use for scaling the ability up. But the ability itself can be anything.
Yeah.
Like, this one that they're showing off is just... you pick a creature, it gets Menace and plus X plus O, where X is the number of creatures in your graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just seems honestly pretty solid. We're not going through most of these, just because all of the cards that they use to show off these mechanics are commons and are relatively simplistic versions of the abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why we're not covering a lot of these. Also, none of them have had, like, amazing art. I'm not even entirely sure what the heck Woodmark Painter is supposed to be doing, because it's just someone painting...
Moodmark Painter.
Oh, Moodmark, sorry. It's just a human painting on an elf. I don't know why.
I don't know, maybe that's a way to bring it back or something? I don't know.
I guess she's giving... The human is painting stuff on this elf to make the elf more menacing, I guess?
Maybe?
I got nothing. Do you want to cover Mentor?
Oh, no,
then?
Actually, I mean, this creature... target creature gains menace. So
I mean,
that
yeah,
would make sense.
That was why I said it. I'm just like, that seems
it doesn't,
silly.
There's no explanation.
It also just seems silly.
Yes.
But would you like to cover Mentor? I know that one sounded pretty solid to you.
Sure. So Mentor, it's basically if you have two creatures attacking, if you have a creature with a greater power, you put a +1/+1 counter on a creature with lesser, on the attacking creature with lesser power. Pretty easy. Did I mess something up? No,
I think you should just read the reminder text on this one, because the way you explained it was
okay.
Somehow more confusing.
Whenever this creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature with lesser power. Basically,
yeah.
The higher one, the bigger one buffs the smaller one.
Well, the benefit for this is that if you've got multiple creatures with menace... Mentor, sorry, not menace, yeah. So, like, they've got a hammer dropper here, which is... has 5 power, and then they've got Barging Sergeant, which has 4. The Hammer Dropper can buff the Barging Sergeant, but if you have anything less than 4, the Barging Sergeant can also buff that thing, or they could both buff something else.
Yeah, so, oh, I think if you have a couple piddly 1/1s.
Yeah, and that's sort of
a
thing
that...
And
then a couple bigger ones.
And that's always been a thing that Boros does, is that it goes wide.
Nice.
This is just a way to go wide and big at the same time, and I like that.
Solid.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that flavor text on Barging Sergeant. Don't stop till your horns come out their back. Brutal and efficient.
I mean, it's a little bit worrying when you remember that the Boros are supposed to basically be the police, but yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And then Celestia is actually pretty simple. They got Convoke back. If you've never used Convoke... it's a little bit odd to wrap your brain around initially, but especially because their reminder text for it is weirdly flavor-based. Convoke, your creature can help cast this spell. Each creature you tap while casting this spell pays for 1 generic or 1 mana of that creature's color. So you can tap a green Sapperling token to produce 1 generic or 1 green mana. Or you could tap a Watch Wolf, which is a green-white 3/3, to create a colorless, a green, or a white. But you can only... I mean, you have to be careful because you're not actually creating any mana. You're just paying for pieces of the cost. But still, it's honestly pretty solid. I have no issues with it.
Yep.
And because the... there's just one other thing to remember with Convoke, which is that because it doesn't actually require payment with a tap, creatures who are summoning sick can be used to Convoke.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
And the other things we're getting back are split cards, which are basically... I'm trying to remember what the naming format of these is. I believe it's X and X? I think. No. So, there's the whole... I don't know why they do this. With split cards and with those cards from Amonkhet, where they had, like, one side was one way and then the other side was, like, tilted underneath that had Aftermath, they, for some reason, established these weird naming conventions for them where there's an assumed word in between the two card names. And I think with the Aftermath ones, it was, like, X2X, so it's like, Rights to Riches or whatever. I don't actually remember any of them. I think with the split cards, it's supposed to be X and X. So, like, in this case, Status and Statue. Except that that's not a thing I've ever heard. Usually they're, like, a common phrase. So this is weird. But functionally, it's two different cards. When you play it, you pick which card you're casting.
Okay, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, they're relatively simple. In theory, there's supposed to be cards that one side or the other is not good enough to be a card on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But in practice, that very rarely is what is actually the case.
Okay.
And then the only other thing is hybrid mana, which are... Actually, there's one here on this card. Because we've got this... what's it called? Hang on. I can flip this horizontally, can't I? Rotate 90 degrees clockwise. Yes, that'll do what I want. Yeah, Status and Statue. The status card is a green-black hybrid. So it's like a mana symbol but split down the middle. And it's just you choose if you want to pay green or black for it. Mm. It was a thing... I believe that original... That came from original Ravnica. And no. Yeah, yeah, it came from original Ravnica and then got revisited in Shadowmoor? I think it was Shadowmoor. It was one of the Lorwyn blocks, but Lorwyn gets weird because it was too small blocks made into one uber block. It was strange.
Okay.
But yeah, hybrid mana is pretty simple. Split cards are relatively simple. There are some rulings about split cards and the way that their converted mana cost works that I don't remember for sure. Actually, wait, there's a thing about it down here. If you've never played with split cards before, here's a quick refresh. That's not how that sentence should work. There are essentially two cards in one. As you cast a split card, you choose which half you're casting. While the spell's on the stack, only that half is considered. The half you're not casting is just ignored. A split card is always a single card. For example, if you're instructed to discard two cards, status/statue counts only as one of them. While not on the stack, the split card has the combined characteristics of both halves. This means that while not on the stack, status/statue has a converted mana cost of 5. This might be a change from the last time you played with split cards. I believe that change happened in Shadows over Innistrad, because it also changed the way converted mana cost was tracked for transform cards. Because it used to be that, like, a creature that transformed didn't have a CMC. And I believe they changed it for Shadows so that they had the CMC of whatever their other side was.
Okay.
Just because there are weird cards that care about converted mana cost of cards on the battlefield, so it was vaguely important. But yeah, okay, I need to
shruggity shrug.
Yeah. But honestly, I think we're just going to jump straight in. Do we want to start with white and work our way down, or just start from multicolored because it's Ravnica, and let's face it, multicolored is the most important.
Yes, to the second.
Okay.
Sorry, I realized if I, it's as it was coming out of my mouth, just saying yes. explains nothing.
Well, thank you, Miriam.
Really can
to,
squat.
To which half?
That's why I said yes to the second.
Okay. So I think we're gonna carry through with our normal policy, which is grabbing up every rare and mythic, and then anything else that sort of catches our attention. So anything in multicolored, I guess, do you want the one common before the rares immediately start?
No.
Okay. wait, hang on. I'm actually gonna cover it real quick because that looks.
I'm not sure if this is fun.
I'm just more like, is that... That's not who I think it is, right? That's not Jace. That's just someone wearing a thing that looks like Jace. Because Jace dresses like the Dimir.
I was gonna say, he's from... he's from... This is...
He's not from here.
This is the place, Living Hill Pact.
Yeah, this is the place where he's supposed to be, and he hasn't been in years because he's bad at his job.
Yes. But that would explain why he has the hooded jacket.
He had that before he came here.
Okay.
I think at this point it's more like the Dimir are probably imitating him.
Or they've all
just sort of agreed that, yeah, trench coat and hood looks kind of badass, so let's stick with it. Just quickly, Urdfell Takedown is too generic, a blue and a black. Instant, choose one or both. Tap target creature or target creature gets -2/-4 until end of turn. Dimir assassinations are choreographed like dance routines. Each challenge is anticipated and countered with graceful ease. That's actually a pretty solid card.
It's pretty.
Like, for four, it's maybe a bit much, but it's instant and can act as both removal and just, no, you don't get to hit me today.
Okay.
That's actually just really solid.
Nice. Nice. Okay, so we did the art. Mike Burek. Nice. Sorry. Because we did an Urd episode as one of our last... I think the last episode
was the last episode, yeah.
Which y'all will hear eventually.
I mean, they'll hear it before this, because I'm going to post it today.
All right, so do you want me to just take the next one?
Yeah. This one apparently is, expected to be very competitively good. Although, I think it's being massively price gouged in pre-orders, but I am not paying close attention.
So this next one is Assassin's Trophy. For 1 black and 1 green, this is an instant. It destroys target permanent and opponent controls. Its controller may search their library for a basic land card, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle their library. A power vacuum for the Azorius. A keepsake for Vraska.
So I'm weirded out that they have posted a story spotlight card, but no story?
Yeah.
That seems like a bad idea. Because all of the story that they've been posting is the...
But it's not a numbered story spotlight card. They're not doing the numbering thing.
Are they not?
It doesn't look like it.
I'm pretty sure they are.
No, it just has the number in the set. Like 152 of 259.
Did they...
It's not an actual, like, this is this number story spotlight card.
Did they actually do that on the cards last time?
They did. Do you remember when we were looking... Oh, God, what's that?
Well, hang on. Let me check. I've got Dominaria open. Take me to your actual card image gallery.
I'm pretty sure they did. It was like something of 21 or 25.
Well, no, because there's only 5.
Or whatever it was. It was a number. It had a number of convention.
Oh, yeah, it does. You're totally right. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not doing that this time.
In Bolas's Clutches was 4/4. That's...
Yeah.
Why?
That's confusing.
Okay, did they only do that for Dominaria? I'm curious now.
No.
I'm going to go a little bit farther back. They've done...
Do you want me to get the next card while you look at that?
Yes, because I actually thought you might really like the next card.
I do, actually.
But yeah, sorry, I'd like to refocus on... I'm weirded out that they're doing a story spotlight card, but don't have the story posted yet, because they're doing a different story
it
on...
It doesn't make a huge amount
the
of
mothership.
Sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Aurelia, Exemplar of Justice. This is a legendary creature, Angel. For 2 generic, a red and a white. She is a 2/5 with Flying and Mentor. At the beginning of combat on your turns, choose up to 1 target creature you control. Until end of turn, that creature gets +2/+0. gains trample if it's red, and gains vigilance if it's white. And if it's both of them, it gets both.
Yep. So story-wise, this is Aurelia, the Paroon of the Boros Guild. So she was the founding and signing member of the Boros for the Guild Pact. Wait, right? I'm pretty sure... Hang on.
She is pretty badass looking.
Yeah, sorry, this is the weird thing, is that the Boros storyline seems to have gone weird. Because... Who was the leader? I'm trying to remember who the... Wait, was she the leader in... Boros Legion... Come on, give me... Oh, God. Oh, this is the MTG Gamepedia. I thought it was on the MTG... I don't remember the name anymore. Okay, yeah, that's Aurelia. Wait, do I have this backwards? I might have this backwards. Current guildmaster. Who was the first guildmaster? Razia, right. Razia was the Paroon. That's why I'm forgetting who it is. Mm. Is this the thing where Aurelia is the last angel, if I remember correctly? Stuff happens. So sorry, she's not the Paroon. She is the current guildmaster of the Boros Guild. Stuff happened in the original Ravnica story that involved basically every angel kind of just going away. And for some reason, Aurelia was the last one left, but also wasn't... So, she ascended to leader after turning much of the guild against Feather, whom she considered a disgrace to the Legion. Feather was a character in the original Ravnica books who never got a card or anything of that sort. Gideon Jura met with Aurelia. Gideon Jura is apparently basically like, welcome to the Boros. I don't know why that's included on Aurelia's information.
I think it was because she wanted... So I went onto the MTG wiki. I think it's because she asked for help.
Yeah, so she asked for his help.
Ninth district of Ravnica.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I don't know why that's on Aurelia's page. That's... It was... So the weird thing about the last Ravnica storyline is that it took place when... in this weird between time when they weren't putting out books anymore, but when they weren't doing, like, full-on as many story articles. It was instead this ebook that may even have been free called The Secretist, which very few people read.
Something that I'm not going to be able to get to if I start looking for it.
I think you might be able to get to it, but it's one of those things where it's just like, it was the same issue. It's the issue that I'm expecting to have with this is, yeah, there was a story, but it was a lot of the story was, for some reason Gideon was here, and we thought he was going to get character development, but no, he's just here trying to find more people to help fight the Eldrazi. And then he got no character development because he was like, nah, I'll help you do whatever you want to do, and then I'll just leave.
Okay.
I don't remember if it's established why Aurelia is still around, but every other angel is gone. But something happened in original Ravnica that the angel... Oh, right! The angels lived in a different, like, subplane, sort of, that was kind of destroyed by the Dimir. Look, the original Ravnica storyline was very weird. It involved old gods and three different stories that were only tangentially connected by one guy who was dead for the last book. It was very strange. They weren't bad, but they were weird.
That does sound a bit odd to me.
Yeah.
As usual, if anyone's watching the VOD, I'm doing something with my hands. Which is why it's weird things.
Yeah. But yeah, like, honestly, this Aurelia seems better than the last one, but I've already forgotten what the last one did. Just, this exactly. seems really solid.
Yeah.
Like, so she's... Unfortunately, her mentor thing isn't going to be great, just because not a lot of creatures are going to have less power than her.
I was going to say, I don't think she... I wonder if there's a... Okay.
I mean, historically, Boros is very good at making a bunch of 1/1s. So, I guess what you really just need is for her to be supporting a bunch of 1/1s and have at least one thing with Mentor that's bigger than her to keep her buffed. Or even just be attaching, like, something to her to make her stronger.
If you've got both Hammer Dropper and Aurelia, you can buff Aurelia and you can buff 1/1s as well.
Yeah, I mean,
Hammer Dropper is a 5/2, and Aurelia's a... I think she's a 2/5.
Yeah, she's a 2/5. Honestly, I think just the fact that she has 2 power is going to functionally mean that a lot of mentor, like, bigger mentor things can buff her, which that seems solid.
I mean, like, let's say you've got... but there's also the... if you've got other red-white... You can then... So, anything that's got red has got trample.
Well, no.
Or excuse me.
Only one creature gets the bonus.
Gets +2/+0, gains trample if it's red, and gains... Okay, so anything she picks will get the +2/+0.
So, yeah, I guess she can do that to herself.
I guess.
So that means that she can hit anyone who's 3/2 or 1. I don't think
But then it would also have trample and vigilance, because gains trample if it's red and gains vigilance if it's white.
So yeah,
it's
both,
but it gain both.
I think that's the point, is that she can do that to herself. So that
she
can mentor other people, she can give herself vigilance so that she can still block, I guess?
Beginning of combat, so when this creature attacks...
No.
So would she be able to... No, I'm just trying to think, like, in the order that you
no,
can do
that's why,
things
Mira,
with this.
That's what I'm saying, is it's not when she attacks. Beginning of combat is, we enter combat step, her effect triggers, then you decide how you're declaring attackers.
Yes, no, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay, sorry, you were just saying when she attacks, which means she's already been declared.
So there's mentor, whenever this creature attacks, and then at the beginning of combat on your turn, so you could choose to do the +2/+0 to yourself, and then attack and choose to mentor someone smaller, because you'll then be a 4/5.
Yeah, that's what I was
instead
saying.
Instead of a... Yeah, no, I was trying to process that in my own brain, kind of thing.
Okay.
Just because the order of things is so... I'm learning about how the order of things is so important.
Yeah.
In which you do stuff, so...
I mean, I admit that it is a little bit confusing, because I know with spells, the whole thing is that you... perform things in the order that they are on the card, but with creatures, you have to pay attention to specific callouts like beginning of combat versus when this creature is declared as an attacker.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And like, if you were to do that, it would be important that you pay attention.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just moving on from that now. There are a surprisingly large number of centaurs, in that there are at least 2. Like, I mean, none of these are particularly impressive. Like, there's a centaur peacekeeper, which I believe was in Return to Ravnica and was fine, but with new art, so that's impressive. I mean, it's a 3/3 for 1, a green and a white, that when it enters the battlefield... Oh, right, each player gains 4 life. Which, I guess... You're hoping that you're more set up for... This has always been sort of the weird thing with Selesnya, is that sometimes they're a bit group-huggy.
Isn't that kind of what they do?
A little bit, yeah. They're also a little bit more... Like, in the same way that Boros goes wide, Selesnya goes wide right up until the point that they convoke out a big thing.
Okay.
Right, there's a cycle of guild mages. I forgot about this. Sorry, these are ones we should also cover.
Okay.
So every Ravnica set there has been a cycle of guild mages. And looks like this set is going to be no different. So up for the first one, we've got Conclave Guild Mage. For a green and a white, it's an elf cleric. It's a 2/2. If this follows the last pattern, they're all going to be 2/2s for two. And it has pay a green and tap. Creatures you control gain trample until end of turn, or pay 5 and a white and tap. Create a 2/2 green white elf creature token with vigilance. That seems really expensive for a single creature token.
Yeah. The card itself is not that expensive, but like that ability seems expensive.
6 for a creature token? I guess it is Selesnya, so you are going to be ramping, so that's sort of reasonable.
And it is green and white.
What do you mean?
Oh no, I was just going to say if there's any abilities, I was just thinking if there's any abilities that would help both green and white. Yeah. Could be important.
It's Ravnica. There are always going to be stuff that care about multicolored. Like, that ability that Aurelia has about, if it's red, it gets this. If it's white, it gets this. Every guild is going to have mechanics like that.
Yeah.
Because that's a fundamental part of Ravnica.
Okay, so let's see. Next card. Just in terms of, like, is Deafening Clarion.
Yeah. Just nothing else jumping out at you?
I mean, in terms of, like, art?
Yeah, they're...
There's a little Drake, which I thought you would think is kind of funky, but...
I mean, it just looks like a Drake with a bunch of weird metallic crap on it.
Alright, so Deafening Clarion is a sorcery for a generic, a red, and a white. Choose one or both. Deafening Clarion deals 3 damage to each creature. Creatures you control gain lifelink until end of turn. Commander, what's the signal to attack? You'll know. Oh, the guild watermarks are on the back of this card.
Oh, sorry, did you not...
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I just noticed that. I just noticed that...
I'll be honest, I thought I called it out when I covered the Dimir one. Yes, that is a thing with every Ravnica set as well, is that cards that are specifically connected to one guild or another will have the watermark of that guild on it.
Neat.
Which means that every single multicolored card is going to have a watermark. Yeah. The monocolored cards only sometimes do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I like this one or not. Just because it's one of those weird cases where I don't think you would ever want to choose both. Because...
I mean, I could definitely... The second would be great.
I mean, the first is fine. The problem is that it hits your dudes, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I'm going to grab one common or uncommon here because it's terrifying and awful. Dimir's Spy Bug.
Yeah.
It also, this just seems really good. For a blue and a black, it is a 1/1 creature insect with flying and menace, so it can't be blocked by less than 2 creatures. And whenever you surveil, put a +1/+1 counter on Dimir's Spy Bug. Just assume every conversation is on record.
Which is pretty cool.
The art is creepy. A little bit weird, because it looks like they're flying through some sort of, like, is-it base? Because there's, like, lightning and weird...
beams and wiring.
Well, there's also, like, there's a building in the back that's got, like, the weird sort of bulby things that usually shoot electricity for the Dimir. But that seems like a really solid card. Like, a 1/1 flyer for 2 is fine. A 1/1 flyer for 2 that also has menace is maybe... like, the menace seems secondary because it can already evade with flying. Mm-hmm. And then a way on the card to make it bigger? Like, yes? There's
no
downside to this.
No.
Do you want the Thuvex
Rare? Sure, yes, so Amara, Soul of the Accord. Or one green and one white. is a legendary creature and elf cleric, which is a 2/2. Whenever Amara, Soul of the Accord, becomes tapped, create a 1/1 white soldier creature token with lifelink. Awesome. Whatever hate destroys, a single act of trust can revive. seems a little naive, but okay.
I'm trying to remember if this is a character we've already seen before.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I thought so. So the whole thing about the Dragon's Maze was that, or the set Dragon's Maze, is that there was a maze that apparently existed throughout Ravnica. Okay, the story was really stupid. There was a maze throughout Ravnica that, in theory, every guild had someone running in, and they would, I guess, compete and run the maze, and the winner would become the Guild Pact, except that for some reason Jace ran it and won, and it was weird, but Amara was the maze runner for Selesnya. It's like, I feel like this name is, I remember this name.
Very
Selesnian. Well, it was more like I remembered her existing, and apparently she was in Agents of Artifice as well, which was one of the books that has largely been forgotten. I believe it was the book where Jace took over the Infinite Consortium. Yeah, took over the Infinite Consortium from Tezzeret, which was sort of like a interplanar spy network. How exactly it worked was never exactly clarified, since it didn't seem to have any planeswalkers in it besides Tezzeret, so it was odd. But apparently she's been a character for a while, admittedly in events with not great story, so sorry, but at least your card, I think, is better than your last card. Her first card was not great, because it had a weird it had a weird issue where she was originally supposed to have the card text for, oh god, it was the one card from Dragon's Maze that was considered amazing.
Amara Tandris.
Well, no, like, that's just it. Her card was terrible. It's just, it's 7 mana, prevent all damage that would be dealt to creature tokens you control. But she was supposed to have the ability for, oh, goodness, what was it called? Something soul. What the hell was it? It was one of the mythics. Come on. I just want to see what the mythics were. You're not going to tell me. Hang on. Because it was a really amazingly powerful card that actually warped standard for a while around it. I just can't remember its stupid name. Come on. Do you really not have a way to search? Voice of Resurgence, that was it. Voice of Resurgence for a green and a white. Whenever an opponent casts a creature or casts a spell during your turn, or when Voice of Resurgence dies, put a green-white elemental creature token onto the battlefield with this creature's power and toughness is equal to the number of creatures you control. And it was a 2-2. So originally Amara Tandris was supposed to have that card's ability and stat block, and they basically went, well, we can't make one of the Maze Runners a mythic when all the rest of them are totally normal, except for, I don't remember, was Rael Zarek supposed, no, Rael Zarek was not the Maze Runner for, is it? Because that was supposed to be, Melek, is it Paragon? But they were just like, we can't have one of them be mythic, because this ability clearly has to be mythic. So unfortunately she got a really terrible card.
I was also looking to see if I can find the Secretist. And it's available on Amazon.
Does it cost money on Amazon?
I think it is. It's an ebook.
Yeah, it was an ebook, but I feel like they released it for free on their website? I thought it was.
Alright. Sure. So what's next?
I have no idea. Firemind's Research, yeah. Hey, guess what? Niv-Mizzet's back, and Niv-Mizzet is still kind of insane.
Awesome.
Yeah, for a blue and a red, Firemind's Research, it's an enchantment. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a charge counter on Firemind's Research. For one generic and a blue, remove
two charge counters
from Firemind's Research. Draw a card.
I got you.
Thank you. For one and a red, remove five charge counters from Firemind's Research. It deals five damage to any target. It's a do-nothing enchantment.
Yay.
It probably won't see play because it's a do-nothing enchantment. Yay.
Okay.
I wonder what Niv-Mizzet is researching now, because every time this idiot researches something, it goes terribly wrong. He basically summoned old gods. It was impressive.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I think I'm right, because you mentioned the shamans and guild mages...
They will always include the guild mages include the word guild mage in their name.
Okay, perfect. And we can skip.
I mean, I was gonna say the Glowspore Shaman. If nothing else, its art is goddamn beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah, like yes. I didn't even read what it does, but like, it's just looks good.
We think it's pretty.
Yeah, when it enters the battlefield, put the top three cards of your library into your graveyard. You may put a land card from your graveyard on top of your library. Eh, okay. I mean, it's pseudo dredge, sort of. Not really, but sort of.
So let's see.
But there the next one is a guild mage.
Yes. Which is the Goblin Electromancer.
No.
No. Oh no, House Guild Mage. Yeah. Sorry.
Like I said, they all have guild mage in their name. I mean, do you want to read the flavor text for Goblin Electromancer real quick?
Result 752. Rapid mass distribution. Result 753. Calamitous reverse synthesis. Result 754. Acute disarrayment. Is it research notes?
Yeah. Goblin Electromancer is a reprint. He, I think, has been in every Ravnica set? Block? He just makes instances of sorceries cost one less. I think that's a new flavor text, though.
Maybe. House Guild Mage. Scooting right along. For blue and a black, this is a creature, human wizard for 2/2. So, a generic, a blue, and tap, target creature doesn't untap during its controller's next step. For two generic, a black, tap. Surveil 2.
Huh. Okay, the surveil, just 2 for 3 mana, actually seems really solid.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, the tap effect is fine, but if you don't have to do it, you don't want to do it. But having that, like, black and 2, you could just do that at the end of your opponent's turn... Where he's just like, I mean, I've got this mana open because I'm playing blue-black, so I'm playing control. And you didn't make me block with him or anything, so guess what? I get a surveil. Haha, suck it. I mean, the next one I'm going to grab is because its name is stupid. And its art is goofy.
I think I know what you're going for, but surprise me.
Hypothesizzle?
Yep.
Yeah. For 3 generic, 2 blue and a red, or sorry, 1 blue and a red, it's an instant, draw 2 cards, then you may discard a non-land card. When you do, Hypothesizzle deals 4 damage to target creature. It's like blowing up an arcane library in a thermobaric explosion, but in a good way. So, functionally, it's draw 2 cards. After that, you can choose to discard a card and deal damage to a creature. But you don't have to do that whole second half, so that's pretty solid.
Sweet.
Yeah, Issid cards are dumb. Issid cards are always dumb.
You mean like the next one?
I mean, this one looks way more sane.
Ionize. For a generic blue and a red, it's an instant counter target spell. Ionize deals 2 damage to that spell's controller. Ooh, to the controller, that's always good. Counter magic is a simple process of breaking matter into its elementary particles.
I'm afraid. Who did you think it was going to do damage to?
I don't know. I was like, okay, what's it going to do damage to? And then it's the spell's controllers instead of to the creature.
I think it has to be that because if it deals damage to a creature, if there's no target, then the counter spell wouldn't function. Mm-hmm. Because you need to have a target to counter and a target to hit at the same time.
Yes.
But yeah, honestly, that just seems fine. I mean, a counterspell at rare seems absurd, but I also hate playing against counterspells, so I'm not going to complain. Izani? I'm going to guess Izuni or maybe Izunai.
Izuni?
Maybe? I feel like that Izuni requires at least one other letter to make that pronunciation work. Thousand-Eyed. For 2 generic, 2 black, and 2 green, legendary creature Elf Shaman. She's a 2/3 with Undergrowth. When Izuni Thousand-Eyed enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 black and green insect creature token for each creature in your graveyard. Pay a green and a black, sacrifice another creature, you gain 1 life and draw a card. Oh, hell, that's really good.
It's a bug army.
Like, okay, for her cost, at the time that you're going to be playing her, you probably are going to have a fair amount of stuff in your graveyard anyway. It's a little bit not great because I'm expecting that you're basically going to play her and then go, okay, well, now I have an army of blockers. But at the same time, I'm going to have to wait to sack any of them because I just had to spend 6 mana to bring her out. So you probably don't have the mana to sack creatures and gain life and draw a card. But once you do, sacking a 1/1 insect just to draw a card and gain life, that seems pretty solid.
It's pretty great.
Do you want the knights?
Sure.
Okay.
It's the Knight of Autumn.
I thought that was knights. Oops.
Knight of Autumn. So it is a 1 generic, a green and a white. It's a Dryad Knight. When Knight of Autumn enters the battlefield, choose one. Put 2 1/1 counters on Knight of the Autumn. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. You gain 4 life. And it's a 2/1.
Okay, this next one is going to be weird. Because this is Lazav, the Multifarious. So Lazav is the current guild leader of the Dimir, because their original guild leader was a vampire who died. Lazav is basically a bunch of shape-shifting worms pretending to look vaguely like the original guild leader.
Mm-hmm. That's creepy.
Yeah, Lazav is weird. So this is Lazav the Multifarious, as opposed to Dimir Mastermind that he was last time. He's, for a blue and a black, a 1/3 legendary creature shapeshifter. When Lazav the Multifarious enters the battlefield, surveil 1. And for X, Lazav the Multifarious becomes a copy of target creature card in your graveyard with converted mana cost X, except its name is Lazav the Multifarious, it's legendary in addition to its other types, and it has this ability.
Hmm.
Wait, it's legendary in addition to its other types? Isn't legendary a super type? That seems like a weird phrasing. Okay. But yeah, he's a creepy shape-shifting dude made out of a series of vicious killer worms.
Lovely.
He's
lovely.
He's very weird.
Yeah.
Would you like to take the next guild mage?
Sure. So this is the League guild mage. This is the Izzet guild mage. So for a blue and a red, it's a human wizard, a 2/2, for 3 generic and a blue, tap to draw a card. For X generic and a red, copy target instant or sorcery spell you control with converted mana cost X. You may choose new targets for the copy.
That is the most calm Izzet I have ever seen.
I think it's more like a concentrated mania.
Maybe? She just looks way too like, yeah, I'm badass, deal with it.
I love it, though.
Yeah, me too. That's why I'm just so weirded out. It's just like, I don't think I've ever seen an Izzet who isn't, like, losing their shit over whatever is currently going on, or just shooting lightning out of everything. She's not even, like, shooting lightning. There's just, like, a little bit of discharge out of her gauntlet, and she's just sort of standing there like, yeah, deal with it.
It's like, choose whether or not you wish to fuck with me. Choose wisely.
Oh, shoot, there's also the Legion Guildmage.
Yeah,
I figured you would like the other one. And went like, that's not important, and then scrolled right by, not realizing it said Guildmage. So for a red and a white, Legion Guildmage is a creature human. I think they're all wizards, but I don't think they're all human.
Yeah.
At least one of them, I think, was an elf.
Human wizard.
Yeah, the Conclave Guildmage was actually a cleric. And it was an elf.
Yes.
So I'm not completely insane. Legion Guildmage has 5 and a red. Tap Legion Guildmage deals 3 damage to each opponent. Oh, that's actually pretty solid in any sort of multiplayer format. Maybe a bit expensive, but provided you've got more than one target. Or that also works really well in 2-headed giant, actually. Huh, that might be solid. And then 2 and a white, you can tap it to tap another target creature. That's fine. I think historically the Boros Guild Mages have done things about like dealing damage and buffing things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is like groundbreaking, but it seems fine. Would you like the terrifying, like, everyone's so, all together?
So literally what I kept thinking of in this card is when the hippies mobilize.
just really quickly, I don't think you can see it on this art. They did a full blown-up version of this art. Miriam, you played during...
Is it even bigger?
Yeah. Did you play during original Ravnica?
I started back up at the very tail end of Return to Ravnica and the next set that came up after that.
So when in the last Ravnica set there was some stuff about a homunculus named Fibblethip, which can also be pronounced relatively as because it's like there's no vowels. It's just it's just like F TBP.
There might be an L missing there, but that's essentially.
There might be an L, but I don't remember for sure. I don't remember the card he was on, but it was about being like lost in the city. He's in this card art.
Oh, cool.
So if you look at the sort of like front and center elf, you see the magic.
There's a little dude right in the corner.
Well,
on the right side of.
It's on her left. There's like a single white spot.
Yes.
Yeah, that is his single terrifying eye. His entire character storyline has basically been about getting lost everywhere.
Oh, poor little dude.
He's definitely not connected with the Selesnya, so he's really lost here.
Poor little guy.
They may or may not be trying to set up some sort of, like, Where's Waldo thing, so we might have to try and keep an eye out for him.
Okay. But this is March of the Multitudes, so for X generic, a green and 2 white, this is an instant with Convoke. Your creatures help cast the spell. Each creature you tap while casting the spell pays for 1 or more mana of that creature's color. Create X 1/1 white soldier creature tokens with lifelink. Our forces number more than the leaves of V2 Ghazi. Do not provoke us.
So the best part...
When the hippies mobilize and militarize.
I mean, the best part is that you can tap to pay for the X as well.
Yeah.
So that's just pretty solid.
Big.
Honestly, the next one I want to do is just because the art looks amazing. And because I always have had a soft spot for the weird fungus creatures that the Golgari get to have. This is the Molder Hulk. For 7 generic, a black and a green, the most badass art I've ever seen for a fungus. It's a 6/6 with undergrowth. The spell costs 1 less to cast for each creature in your graveyard. Yes! When Molder Hulk enters the battlefield, return target land from your graveyard to the battlefield. I love this. There's like no downside to this. There's a very good chance that I'm probably going to be trying to play this as some sort of goofy green-black aggro deck in Arena. I just like it. And do you just want to take the Perun, or do you want to cover anything else?
Sure. So this is Niv-Mizzet Perun. So for 3 blue and 3 red, it's a legendary creature, Dragon Wizard. 5/5. This spell cannot be countered. It's got flying. Whenever you draw a card, Niv-Mizzet Perun deals 1 damage to any target. Whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery spell, you draw a card.
Yeah, nice. So Niv-Mizzet cards have had a history of being part of broken degenerate commander combos, and this one has apparently just said, let's make it easier for it to be more broken and degenerate. Let's do it.
Like, this is not a fun card to play against.
No. Also, I haven't brought this up for anyone else who I've talked to about this card. His arms are really fucking creepy. They're too human.
Okay, yes. Like, the musculature of it?
Yeah, they look way too human. It's not okay.
Look at that wrist dexter.
Yeah, he's just like...
That's awkward.
Yeah, that's not a thing that a dragon arm should look like or do.
Like, I mean, if he's a crazy inventor, having dexterous arms might be helpful, but...
But he's always been very much depicted as just, like, a normal dragon that happens to be very, very smart and very vain and absurd. Like, he's never had weird, creepy arms like that. It's... I find it really disturbing.
Okay. Then do you want to get... I guess the next one would be down a row.
I can do that one, but first I was actually going to do one just because the art is hilarious, and I believe it was someone in Chewie's Discord who was like, is Ravnica now the Matrix?
Oh my god, yes, yes, that is exactly, okay.
Yeah, just yes. Notion Rain. It's like, there's codified magic raining from the sky. That's not weird. Just
it's like you can reach out and touch the single... thread of thought.
Yeah, it's weird. One generic and a blue and a black, surveil two, then draw two cards. Notion Rain deals two damage to you. That seems fair and makes this work as a black card. City Air is constant drizzle of private thoughts.
Maybe I am a better fit for the Dimir than I originally thought, but I am loving those coats.
Yeah, their design in Return to Ravnica was very spiky. And it seems like they've got a lot more, like, sleek and sort of, I guess, Final Fantasy, for lack of a better word, because they're very big on too many buckles, but...
I love it, though.
Yeah, I definitely like it better than their last one, because their last design was sort of edgelordy, for lack of a better word.
This is very sleek.
Yeah, that's it.
It's very sleek.
But yeah, I can grab Ral Zarek. Now, Ral, is it Viceroy? Why on earth would you put him in charge of anything? I don't know. Oh god, his card deck is so tiny, I'm going to have to lean in for this. Ral, is it Viceroy for...
More than usual.
Three generic, a blue, and a red. He's a legendary planeswalker Ral. Mythic rare, comes in with five loyalty. For give one loyalty, look at the top two cards of your library, put one into your hand and the other into your graveyard. Minus three, Ral's... I find it so weird to not say Ral Zarek. Ral, is it Viceroy, deals damage to target creature equal to the total number of instant and sorcery cards you own in exile and in your graveyard. Oh, okay, that's pretty solid. And for minus eight, you get an emblem with whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, this emblem deals four damage to any target, and you draw two cards.
Nice.
Yeah, he actually just seems pretty solid. He's got no ability to protect himself.
He's not that expensive, though, which is kind of cool.
I mean, five is a bit much.
He's a playable planeswalker, I feel like.
Yeah, like, he seems like a perfectly fine planeswalker, but probably not great. Like, because he doesn't protect himself. He comes in with five and can go up to six, which isn't super hard to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And... His minus... I guess his minus three can protect himself, but it requires a fair amount of setup to work decently. But given the deck he's in, it probably works fine. He just feels more of like a support card than a planeswalker who's going to come in and help you win the game himself.
Okay, so let's see.
There's one more Guild Mage if you want that
Swarm
one.
Swarm Guild Mage.
Yeah.
So for a black and a green
insect, what the hell? Like, he's got like butterfly wings coming out of him.
I thought those were like moldy growths.
It could also be that too.
So it's a black and a green. It's a 2/2. So for four generic and a black, creatures you control gain +1/+0 and gain menace until end of turn.
Holy hell!
Or for one generic and a green, tap and you gain two life.
That first one is really good.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, a buff and everything gets a form of evasion?
Mm-hmm.
That seems really mean.
I like it.
I like it. Oh, hey, we've got... This is actually the Loading Ready Run preview card. Swift Blade Vindicator, which... I wonder if Mythic Spoiler ever fixed it. I kind of want to check now really quick. So, Loading Ready Run always does their spoilers as, like, a self-contained video.
Mm-hmm.
And they very often will do, like, goofy stuff about, like, jokes about how much the card actually costs. Wow. Why is this really unupdated Mythic Spoiler? What the shit, guys? Like, they've got a bunch of things here that aren't even translated, even though it's on the card image gallery.
Really?
Yeah. This makes me think that maybe they haven't fixed it yet. So Swiftblade Vindicator is a 1/1 for a red and a white. It has Double Strike, Vigilance, and Trample. So, functionally, it's doing 2 damage. Like, no matter what you do, it's doing 2 damage. A Swiftblade is an artist. Each fiery trail with their blades is a fleeting masterpiece traced in the air. It's nice. Just a really solid card. So the Double Strike means that it attacks twice. The Trample means that even if you kill it on the first hit, then you still get to do 1. Okay, so no, they finally fixed it. So they usually do silly stuff where it's like, it costs this much. But like, what if it costs less? I think the joke was that like, it seemed totally reasonable for this card to cost, I think it was like 2 generic, a red and a white. And mm-hmm. whoever grabbed it for Mythic Spoiler pulled the image from that part of the video. It was like, yeah, it costs 4. And everyone was just like, it's fine, I guess. And then didn't watch the rest of the video where they're like, because they were doing it as like a sales thing. It's like, but what if I gave it to you for 2 less? And it's only a red and a white. So all the people who had actually like watched the video were talking about like, this card is great. And all these people who were on Mythic Spoiler were like, this seems awful. Like, it's not bad, but it's not good.
It's like, what are you smoking? This card is not as good as you're talking about.
It's like, oh, you base this off of Mythic Spoiler instead of going to the original source. Well, there's your issue, because goddamn, Mythic Spoiler never refers back to the official source.
Nope.
Why?
Got it.
Okay.
So the next card is Thief of Sanity.
Yes.
Yeah, that art looks awful. Oh, that is creepy.
Yep, it's our classic magic specter. Faceless thing riding a terrifying monstrosity.
Yeah.
With massive card text.
Yes, so give me just a second. So a generic, a blue and a black. It's a 2/2 specter. It's got flying. Alright, brace yourselves for a wall of text. Whenever Thief of Sanity deals combat damage to a player, look at the top 3 cards of that player's library. Exile 1 of them face down, then put the rest into their graveyard. For as long as that card remains exiled, you may look at it, you may cast it, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any type to cast that spell.
Oh, okay. So specters usually have a, what's called a saboteur effect, which is an effect that like triggers when they deal damage. This seems really solid.
It's mean.
It also seems like he's really inexpensive for his effect.
Yeah.
Like, a flying 2/2 for 3 is pretty reasonable. The fact that it's between 2 colors is a bit harder to deal with, but not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this next one is a bit concerning. Up next, we've got Tristani Discordant.
Which, mind you, I like the art for this.
Yes. Hang on, let me pull up the name before I screw this up. Okay. Right, so Tristani is weird because Tristani is not the original... a whole bunch of like guild leadership got screwed up by the beginning, or not by the beginning, by original Ravnica storyline. Mm-hmm. So originally the Selesnya Conclave was controlled by, oh god, what was it called? I think it was just the Conclave? Basically it was like a chorus of dryads that all worked directly together. then something happened to them and Tristani took over as, like, these three specific dryads. But if they're discordant, like, their title was Tristani Selesnya's Voice. If they're discordant, I assume that means that they're not actively working together well anymore. So, for three generic, a green and a white, it's a legendary creature, Dryad. 1/4, other creatures you control get +1/+1. When Tristani Discordant enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 white soldier creature tokens with lifelink. At the beginning of your end step, each player gains control of all creatures they own. Okay. So basically, like, you can't share your creatures and your enemies can't, like, force you to take bad creatures, I guess? But...
look at that Anguit. Look at that just, like,
error. Yeah, like, there's clearly something wrong with the Selesnya Guild leadership, and I'm...
That's some tension right there.
Yeah, especially since they're, like, three Dryad sisters who have been running this guild together. Like, that's sort of concerning.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Would you like Vraska or the Lich?
Vraska.
Okay, I kind of assumed so.
She's my badass.
Oh,
I love
her. That's why I asked, because I'm just like, the Lich should be next, but I'm pretty sure you want to do Vraska.
Am I that transparent?
I have known you for a very long time, Miriam.
Yeah, I'm that transparent.
I don't know about that transparent. I'm going to stick with it. I've just known you long enough that I can tell.
Fair enough. So do you want to go ahead and do Under Realm?
I mean, I was just going to let you do Vraska since, like, you're up next anyway.
So this, is Vraska Golgari Queen. For 2 generic, a black and a green, she comes in with 4 loyalty points. +2, you may sacrifice another permanent. If you do, gain 1 life and draw a card. -3. Destroy target non-land permanent with converted mana cost 3 or less. -9. You get an emblem with whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, that player loses the game.
Oh. So that's sort of a callback to her original card. Her original Return to Ravnica card, the limit break was to create a bunch of assassins that... they were like 1/1 assassins. She made 3 of them, and they all just had whenever this creature deals damage to a player, that player loses. So this just makes it, like, much why I like it.
Yeah.
I don't think that you're ever going to be able to get that alternate win con.
No.
But, I mean,
basically, Vraska has run out of fucks to give.
Yeah. I mean, so we talked about this, where I don't actually love this art for her, because it feels like every artist who is doing Vraska is doing different characters. Because, like, there's the amazing Vraska art on, like, the front of Return... or not Return. Whatever this set is called.
Guilds of Ravnica.
Yeah. That just looks like this weird combination of deadly and magical and elegant. And this just looks like...
dark.
Yeah, this is just dark, angry Gorgon. They don't look like the same Gorgon.
Yeah.
Like, the first Vraska we saw did not look anything like the second Vraska we saw, because the first one we saw was the Return to Ravnica one, who, frankly, didn't look like the Ixalan one, although the Ixalan one was sort of, like, consistent through her appearances in Ixalan. But this Vraska doesn't look the same as them. Like, it looks like a different character.
Yeah.
And I'm weirded out by that, because I really like Vraska, but...
We both do. Like,
but
a
it
lot.
Feels like every time someone covers her character, they...
she changes.
They do it, yeah, like, they do the design entirely differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's... fine? No, it's not fine. I don't... like, that just means that
it's
you don't
thing,
have a
we just
consistent...
don't like it.
It means you don't have a consistent character.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find her other card for this set. Because it's not in the card image gallery. Like, I guess her other card for this set looks similar to this design, but it doesn't even look like the same Vraska from the box art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Vraska Regal Gorgon. This is the Planeswalker card for 5 generic, a black, and a green. Legendary Planeswalker Vraska comes in with 5, +2, put a +1/+1 counter on each of... Put a +1/+1 counter on up to one target creature. That creature gains menace until end of turn. -3, destroy target creature. That -3 seems better, but I guess technically Golgari Queen can destroy non-creatures. And then -10, for each creature card in your graveyard, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. I mean, honestly, Regal Gorgon seems the most playable of all of the Planeswalker cards we've seen. Admittedly, yeah. She also costs 7, so... Yeah. Like, I think that's just the issue, is that both of us really like Vraska, and it feels like Ravnica's doing weird stuff to her.
Because she was so awesome.
Yeah, and I guess, yes, she has had, like, a mind wipe thing, but I don't know why that changed her visual design.
No.
Like, the... having her wearing the, like, ball gown of fungus stuff? Awesome! Why does that mean that her facial structure has entirely changed and the way that her, like, snake hair functions has entirely changed?
Mm-hmm.
And that instead of being, like, relaxing and being this intelligent badass, she's sitting on a rotting throne in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, because that's the thing that struck me a lot. And even just, I know we talk about how much we hate stories, but like...
I mean, we don't hate stories. We hate where the story is going.
True.
Yeah.
It's the way she's intelligent. She's nuanced.
She was also just a massive book nerd who didn't... Like, after... I mean, okay, I guess they have the retcon of Ixalan is just like, yeah, we mind-wiped her. So yeah. I guess all of her... character development doesn't matter until she meets back up with Jace, but...
And he says the magic words.
Yeah, so I guess she's back to just wanting to kill everyone, but she didn't seem like that was her... Like, so in original Ravnica, she was basically like, yeah, I'm gonna take over the Golgari, and then I'm gonna screw up everyone who ever screwed me over.
And then I'm gonna make it better for everybody else.
Sort of. Mostly just the Golgari, but yeah. And it feels like this Vraska that we're dealing with here is not the Vraska who started the Ixalan trip that we saw. This is just, yeah, we brought back the Vraska from Return to Ravnica. Mm-hmm. It's like, but she had character development. I mean, it was relatively recent, but she had character development that is implied to have happened before we met up with her on Ixalan, because she wasn't, like,
She was reading, wanting to settle in to read. Then she gets hired for all the Ixalan stuff.
Yeah. But now we're back to the same... I guess that's our issue, is that we're back to the same characterization that she had 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but she had development, and...
lots of it.
Your mind wipe thing only accounts for a very small portion of it.
It's basically the friend becoming fond of Jace, is literally all it is.
Yeah. It's like, you... all that happened was you mind-wiped Jace out of that bit. She was a better person when we first met her on Ixalan, but somehow we're back and she's got different design. I'm hoping that maybe we go back to the original Vraska design after she remembers.
Mm-hmm. Maybe in the next set?
We probably won't see her in the next set, just because the next set won't have the Golgari, so we probably will have to wait until the third set to see her anymore. I mean, I'm holding out hope. Okay, this is 100% my, like, pipe dream that totally won't come true, but I hope. Is I just want Jace to go do whatever the hell Jace wants to do somewhere else. And for, quite frankly, I want Vraska to be the Living Guild Pact, because she cares about Ravnica. Jace does not care about Ravnica. Ravnica is a place that he has been to, and that he... is the one that he's most acquainted with and has called home, but he does not care.
He's not really taking care of it.
Yeah.
Vraska has done... he needs to do his job.
Yeah, except like, everything that Vraska has done is she's done because she cares about Ravnica, and I frankly would love to see her be, like, given more power to help Ravnica become better. Because I think she could do it. Moving on, because I think we went off on a little bit on that.
This has been a very strong tangential episode.
Yeah, but I think that's... I think this is going to be a topic that we come back to a lot. Also, we are not going to get through all the cards that we want to today, so we'll have to come back.
This might have to be a... We just did all the multicolored cards.
Yeah, we just did all the multicolored. We'll come back for all the monocolored later.
And I also want to look at the art of the lockets, because I kind of like the lockets.
Yeah, the lockets are an interesting concept that we can talk about when we get down there. The Underrealm Lich, though, is the other mythic for Golgari. For 3 generic, it's a black and a green. It is a zombie elf shaman. It's a mythic rare for 3. If you would draw a card, instead, look at the top 3 cards of your library, then put 1 into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. Pay 4. Underrealm Lich gains indestructible until end of turn. Tap it, so it sort of regenerates. Sorry, did I say pay 4 or pay 4 life?
I think you said pay 4.
Okay, yeah, pay 4 life. You've strayed, Overworlder. So I'm wondering then who we're going to... So, like, functionally, Vraska is the current guild leader. Also, holy hell, Golgari has had a lot of guild leaders. So, just to run off a quick thing, Golgari's Perun was a big plant zombie guy who was represented by a land in the original Ravnica set and who was murdered. But he wasn't leading the guild. At the time, it was being led by a group of Gorgon sisters who were also killed as part of the story, and an elf whose name I'm trying to remember took over. It's Jar something. Hang on.
Wait, Gerard? Golgari Lichlord?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Yeah, it was...
I just plucked that one out of my memory.
Gerard was weird because he was,
Gerard Vaud Savel.
Yeah, so he was a character in the first Ravnica book, and if I recall correctly, he died in the second Ravnica book, and then was raised as a lich. I think he became the leader in the first book. Hang on. He was briefly married to a character to a Selesnya elf and had a child who I think... What did she go off to... Like, has she done anything? Oh, right, yeah, she's in the Golgari. I forgot about that. So yeah, she was raised by her mom in the Selesnya, and by the end of the third book, or second book, ended up deciding to go live with the Golgari. Okay, so he took over as the head of the Golgari in the first book. Svogthyr, that was the name of the original guildmaster. Yeah.
That's a name.
He was a plant zombie, and there was a land that could turn into him. It was weird, but he died. It was weird. So Gerard took over the Golgari Swarm in the beginning of the first book, was briefly married to Fawn, father of a child named Mick. I don't remember how they actually wanted her name pronounced. He was one of the pallbearers for Kos's death. Kos was the character that all of the books followed, and he died at the end of the second book, maybe the beginning of the third book, and was still the main character for the third book. It was weird. He was killed at the end of the Dissension book and was revived to continue leading it. Leading the Golgari. And apparently, at an unspecified time, Gerard was taken captive in a sparsely populated corner of the city. Pleased with the planeswalker Vraska's role in securing the Immortal Sun, Nicol Bolas rewarded her with the information where Gerard was imprisoned. As leader of the disenfranchised among the Golgari, she vowed to bring justice to Gerard and replace him as a worthier guild leader. No idea if he's dead or not, just he's not around. But yeah, I think that the Golgari have had the most known guild leaders, because there was a whole weird thing where there was also Savra, who was the leader of the Golgari elves, that was briefly sort of a leader, and then also...
Isn't she Gerard's sister?
Yes, she was Gerard's sister.
Yeah.
So I think, like, Savra was the original guild leader, and then Savra was briefly overthrown by the... No, sorry. So it was Svagthyr, then the Gorgons, then Savra, who was being helped by Svagthyr. God, that's a stupid name. And then finally Gerard, and now...
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, the Golgari have a lot of political infighting.
Seriously, this is good. You need a string diagram for this.
You do, mostly because... Oh, goddamn Svagthyr, after he stopped being in direct control, still tried to be like a puppet master, which is really impressive since no one knew who he was, and he was a goddamn chapel underground that was telling people what to do somehow. I read these books and I don't remember exactly what happened. I think I still own them. No, I have them on Kindle.
Oh my goodness.
I might even be able to send you those now.
I am, like, deeply, like, okay,
they're
backup.
They're so weird. Because they all follow Kos as, like, the main character, and then have, like, these secondary characters. And Kos was in the original Ravnica set, but even then his card wasn't great.
Okay.
It was very strange. Because the whole idea is that Kos was a, he was a member of the Boros, and was basically, like, a police officer that was just, like, this put-upon man trying to investigate all these crimes, going... What the hell is with all of you people? Why are you making me deal with every guild, and why are they all nuts?
Holy crap, you nut bars.
Okay, so it looks like there's five rare split cards. Do we want to actually cover all of those? Because that might take a bit.
I think let's come back to those.
Okay, just want to finish up.
Holy
with
crap,
the,
like almost 3 hours at this point.
I mean, that's counting the pre-show stuff, but yes.
Yeah, this is going to be a long episode.
Okay, then let's just say, the lockets are awesome. I love them. Is there any
They're
particular
fantastic.
One you want to call
the
out the art for?
The flavor text are great.
I mean, we can just read through it. We can just run through the flavor text if you want to.
Okay.
Just really quickly, for anyone who's not aware of Ravnica story, they do this every time. With the original Ravnica sets, we had the Signets, which were weird, they costed 2 mana, and all of them had an ability for pay 1 generic mana, tap it, and it would produce 2 mana that was always the guild color. So, like, the Golgari Signet was pay 1 mana, tap, and you get green-black. So, they all made mana, but they all made mana in a way that you still need to have mana up to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Last time they made the Keystone... No, last time was dumb because they made 2 different versions. Because there was, like, the keystones, which you could, like, sack to sacrifice them to draw a card, or they could tap for one of the 2 colors. Mm-hmm. And then they made a different one that could, like, change into creatures, or could tap for mana, that I don't remember the name of. But they were all strange. They were interesting, but they weren't particularly good. So this time we've got the lockets that can... be tapped for 1 mana of either of the guild's colors, or you can pay 3 hybrid of the guild's mana colors to sacrifice it and draw 2 cards. So they're all good. So do you want to start with Boros and then we'll bounce back and forth?
Sure. Boros, okay. We pass these along to our fellow soldiers to recognize deeds of valor. It won't stay with you for long.
Up next is...
Neck, Boros Guild Mage.
I don't know if we've heard of that person before. Actually, I don't know if we've heard of any of these people before. Huh, that's interesting. Dimir Lockett. Wear this and take your place among the shadows, wise, lethal, and unseen.
Ivrelia, Dimir Spymaster.
Oh, right, sorry.
Golgari Lockett. Wear it at all times. It will guide our reanimators to your corpse. Mazarek, Kral Death Priest.
That name sounds slightly more familiar. Is it Lockett? Remember to discharge your locket every 7 hours, unless you prefer the spontaneous aether overload, of course. Draxivir, is it Electromancer?
Celestnia Locket. Think of the locket as a CG bear, spreading life from V2 Gauzy across all of Ravnica. Harouge, Celestnia Hierophant.
I'm really impressed that you immediately locked on to how to say V2 Gauzy correctly.
Did I say it right?
Oh, yeah. Like, I forgot to mention it when... I don't remember what other card called out V2 Gauzy already, but yeah, that's the name of the big tree that is, like, the focus for,
I caught that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's their big tree of life kind of thing.
Oh, one other thing. There are guild gates in this set again. Hey. Apparently they are replacing the land slot in almost every case. There are lands. They are all done by Richard Wright, so they look beautiful. I believe they're only appearing in foil slots, though. Because all of the... I believe it's all of the guild gates are taking up basic land slots. I don't quote me on that, because I don't remember for sure. Do we want to run through flavor text on guild gates, by the way?
Awesome. We'll do this real quick. Okay.
There's one weird thing.
Yes.
There are two versions of every guild gate.
Yeah, I noticed. I was scrolling through because I was like, oh, wait, there are two of them. Let me look at the art for the two of them.
So the idea is that one of them is going to be the, like, front door that everyone is aware of, and then the other one is going to be basically, like, the employee entrance that...
The secret back door.
It's not even, like, a secret back door so much as just, like, so here's the big entrance that, like, people not from the guild have to use or that you have to use when you're looking important and impressive, and the other ones are just, like... Here's the way to avoid the crowds coming in this side.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So do we want to do, like, you do the public one, and then I'll do the private one?
Sure.
Okay.
Oros Guildgate. The more trust breaks down, the more we must throw open the front gates, Aurelia.
This is our... it is our duty to protect those in need. But the other guilds have never shown themselves worthy of that protection, Tajik. I don't remember who Tajik is, but I remember he had something to do with the story of the first Ravnica, I think. I think he was also a police person.
Every guild dreads infiltration. So this is the Dimir Guild Gate.
Yeah.
Every guild dreads infiltration. I should know. I've been a member of all of them.
You found this place only because you were summoned. Pray you're worthy of the invitation. Etrata. I like how they don't have any titles.
No. Golgari Guildgate. Shut the gates. In the Underrealm, we will outlast the coming doom. Vraska.
Can I just point out that they've got a freaking hanging upside-down clock tower, and I love
Isn't
it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love the Golgari. I really do like the Golgari. I'm probably going to end up, since I only play in Magic Arena anymore, I'm probably going to end up playing way too much, like, green-black.
Okay.
And then for the other one, Drod was a friend of the Devar... Oh, I hate this
Devkarin
elf name. Devkarin, I think so. Devkarin. I feel like it was one of the E or the I was pronounced as a hard E, but I don't remember which one.
Devkarin?
Maybe. Now we slink through the neglected tunnels, befriending those who crawl them. The Devkarin had a whole thing about, like, working with insects, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would make sense. Why is Izonai.
Yeah.
Thousand Eyes is the speaker for that one.
Yeah, that was their whole deal, is that a lot of the different, like, factions within the Golgari deal with different aspects. Like, the Devkarim specifically worked with insects. There's, like, a faction that's all necromancers, but they don't do normal necromancy. They do, like, necromancy where a plant sort of animates your body. And then there's all of the ones that are just like, yeah, we're focused on the disgusting people, like the Gorgons. Because apparently they consider Gorgons disgusting.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That would explain why Raska's had the shitstorm of a life she's had.
A little bit, yeah.
Poor thing. Is it Guildgate? Every laboratory buzzes with new experiments, each a piece of Ral's ambitious project. Ooh, what's the project?
I don't know. Yesterday I didn't recognize my own guild. Today I see why. And for tomorrow, I must be prepared. Niv-Mizzet. So I guess Niv-Mizzet has ceded a lot of control over to Ral, and Ral is doing something that Niv-Mizzet isn't aware of?
He's like, oh, what is this? Interesting.
I don't think that's interesting. I think that's I'm concerned.
Scary.
Yeah.
So the Celestia Guildgate. Everyone who crosses that threshold is our most cherished friend. Everyone who crosses it again is our bitterest enemy. Tristani.
We leave our gate gardens open so all may know wonder, but guarded so all may know peace. Amara.
Huh. Hufflepuffs.
I mean, the Celestia Guild, like the front door guild gate is a little bit concerning with that flavor text, because it just means that if you come in and visit and then don't stay, you're an enemy.
I guess you're a friend only when you're in our guild?
Well, I think that's the idea, is that if you leave, you're either with us or against us, and you only get to make that choice once.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't get to come back.
Ha. Harsh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, they brought back the Shocklands, which are amazing. It's another cycle of, so all of the guild gates enter the battlefield tapped and can tap for one of the, or the two different colors that, guild makes.
Sorry. The flavor text for steam vents.
Yeah. But hang on.
Sorry.
No, you can read in just a second. And then the shock lands are a cycle of dual lands, so they can tap for two colors as well. Mm-hmm. However, they have the remarkably useful ability of, one, they have the land subtypes on them, so like steam vents is not just a land, or in the case of the guild gates, it's not like a land gate. It is a land, island, mountain, so it can tap for a blue and a red. And it has the secondary effect of, it comes into the battlefield tapped unless you pay two life, which is why it's a shock land. Then it comes in untapped. So yes, what is this flavor text for steam vents then, Miriam?
A massive new Izzet building project with an unstated purpose? Probably fine. Zija, Simic Mutationist. I'm sorry, that's just, like, great, it's great.
Yeah, honestly, the rest of them are all pretty simple, because it's just, like, Temple Garden, where the roots reach, the temple rises, or temples rise. Water Grave, few believe Duskmantle exists, fewer find it, none live to bear witness.
And then Overgrown Tomb. Cradle of the Golgari's new kingdom. Grave of those who wronged its queen. Yeah!
And then there's one more next to that one, too.
Sacred Foundry. You will not be trained here. You will be forged.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
So,
with that,
I noticed, I just have one thing.
Okay.
Why does Vraska seem to think that there is doom coming to the plane?
You notice that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with other things, like... So, seasons have never been really, like, a super well-established thing in a lot of Ravnica, but every art that isn't a Selesnya tree that features a tree, and even some of the Selesnya ones, the trees are all, like, acting as though winter... Like, it's entering fall. Because life is going, like, brown and orange and... falling apart, and there's even stuff like on Guildmage's forum where there's just like leaves blowing through this forum, but there's no people in the forum. I'm concerned that something is going very wrong. And why does Vraska know what's coming, but no one else seems to? I'm concerned. I'm very concerned.
Yeah. Autumn, it's like winter is coming.
Yeah, except that we've never
had
seasons, so I'm afraid that it's actually just like the plane itself is dying, because the leaves just, like...
Do they not change?
We've never seen them a different, like, every leaf that we've ever seen in Ravnica really has been, like, green, and I'm looking through this and every color has stuff where there's just like dead leaves in the background of a bunch of different art. Like it's in every color.
Something is coming is what's happening.
I'm more afraid that something is leaving.
Huh.
It's like the plane is dying for some reason.
Weird.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
That's concerning.
And I guess we'll have to keep an eye out for that now, because I'm, like I said, I'm looking back through a bunch of this random art, It's like even in obviously Blue Card, that's just about like a spell getting countered, there's just a casual bit of like leaves blowing in.
Mm.
Or like someone practicing how to do a spell and there's just like dead trees in the background. I'm very concerned.
I kind of want to scroll up and look at, see if I can find any. There's a lot of autumnal colors.
Yeah.
Dead foliage.
There's creepy spirits, which have never really been a thing in Ravnica. Like, there were a couple, but there weren't many.
I wonder if that might be an element of the Tristani Discordant.
Probably not, because they are more deeply connected with trees. Like, their whole idea is that they're connected with Vitugazi.
There's dead leaves in their photo.
Yeah, there definitely are, yeah.
Yeah, hair is turning
you mean
red.
Like, sorry, I thought you meant, like, the ghost thing.
No. So if you look at Tristani Discordant, their hair is starting to die.
Oh, okay.
The leaves of their hair is dying. Their trees are, like, there's dead leaves.
Yeah, because they were, like, surrounded by leaves before. Okay.
One of them looks like she's scared and is huddling. Another looks like she's deeply saddened. And the other looks like she's pleading for something.
So it's like something is wrong with plant life? Or maybe it's just that the plant life is the first thing to go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's concerning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great, but yeah, that's concerning.
I wonder if that has something to do with it.
I'm assuming that because they're dryads and so deeply connected with nature, whatever's happening is affecting them more immediately than it would to affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
There was one other dryad, but I don't think they had... I mean, well, actually, no, yeah. Those dryads also have their, like, leaf hair going orange.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe whatever it is just affecting the dryads, and even their steeds have, like, the aspects of orange bleeding through.
Yeah.
I'm weird. Yeah, that's kind of concerning.
I wonder if we're... We'll have to wait and see if we're reading into something.
I mean, but it's so consistent that I feel like we can't be just making stuff up.
Yeah.
Like, this looks like they're actually weaving a story in. So now I'm a little bit more happy. Because there's something happening. Like, something is clearly changed.
Okay, if there's, like, this many leaves flying through everything.
Yeah, like, I don't think this is us noticing something minor. I think this is a very significant
obvious theme.
Like, when it's one of those things where, yeah, they sometimes can play around with color a little bit, but when we're seeing bright red and orange used on mono blue and mono black and mono white cards, then it's very clearly something that they're trying to draw attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's like, you can even see it in like Circuitous Route, where it's just like a big green hedge maze, but all of the trees are sticking out of the hedge maze and are like going orange. Like, this is now much more concerning. Okay.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. I think this is probably going to be a thing that we focus on pretty heavily.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's overt symbolism.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's clearly something going very, very wrong.
I mean, another thing that I notice is any of the sky, anything where there's any sort of natural sky, it's cloudy and gray.
That's sort of been a thing for Ravnica, just because the whole city, I mean, the whole plane is a city, but yeah, it does seem a lot more
ominous.
Yeah, maybe, I think it's just because,
like,
of the
storm,
combination.
It's almost, as, instead of just, like, overcast, there's a storm coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's not even that, it's more of, like, that it's just sort of, even on stuff where it's on street level, there's just sort of a pervasive mist.
Mm-hmm.
Like smog.
Yeah.
Hmm. But yeah, okay, we should wrap this up because we've been going too long, and we've got the post show to do after this still too anyway. So yeah, thank you all so very much for watching. I hope you've enjoyed. If you want to find us anywhere, it's just Lair of Lore. You can find us at lairoflore.com. You can find everything that we do right there. We're on Twitter at Twitter at Lair of Lore. Twitch.tv/Lair of Lore, where we stream basically every day. We've got a Discord server for Lair of Lore. You can find that in the show notes below. Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, if you really like what we do here. You can support us over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Lair of Lore. And find videos and VODs and everything else that we do at youtube.com/Lair of Lore. I can't talk, apparently. It's pretty much that easy. Like, if you want to email both of us, you can reach us at masterminds@layeroflore.com. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, come join the streams. We stream really often. It's at 1 p.m. Mountain Time or minus 7 GMT pretty much every weekday, so come join us for that. Yeah, I think that's basically it, unless you've got anything you want to add, Miriam?
Nope. Okay. We hope to see you soon.
Yeah, bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, folks. Hope you enjoyed that podcast. I just wanted to pop in here and give a quick shout-out to our wonderful painters in the lair who make all of this possible. Tremor101, Stark Maximum, Damasu, Gothic Airman, and Pentaperi. Thank you all so very much. This is all because of you. Thank y'all.